It is not an accident that God made you. And I know sometimes you hear some just terrible things that sometimes parents can say and caregivers can say, maybe in a heat of a moment or maybe at a difficult time in life. We can sometimes say mean things to our children. But I want to mention from the perspective of God's perspective, how God sees your child and how God knows and understands just how special they are. I had the joy, my wife and I have had the privilege of, you know, having three children. And I know sometimes when I say that, a lot of people say, well, you didn't have them, your wife had them. I promise you, we had them. It was a fun experience. It was a joyful experience. I tease, you know, as far as sometimes, epidurals make it very, very easy, right? But no, but in the context of children and having children, I never will forget being there and seeing our children come into the world. That was a long time ago. Our baby, I will not embarrass Toby Harold, but Toby Harold is our baby boy. He's our 15-year-old boy. Cameron, 17, Ashley, 20. But there are children and there are kids. You say, well, they're older. They're getting older. They'll always be our children. They'll always be our kids. And they indeed are special because, not just because they are our children, they're special because God made them. But ladies and gentlemen, I hope you know this, and I know you know this as parents. I know you know this as grandparents. Let me rephrase that. You especially know that as grandparents, that grandchildren are special. Amen? But in the context of us for just a moment, and young people, I want to focus in on you tonight. I want to talk about how special you are. Now, I know sometimes in our world and in our culture, we can sometimes buy into the lie as young people that we're really of no value. Please hear the heart of Pastor Harold tonight. And I know you've heard the heart of your workers throughout this year with the Awana Program and Team Program. You are very special to God. You are, the Bible says, you are a heritage of the Lord. Literally, you are a gift of Jehovah God. So having said that, let's take that word gift for a moment. Let's just kind of break that word down and let's talk about and try to flesh out just for a few minutes how special that you are. Then you may say, yeah, but Brother Tracy, you don't understand that, you know, in my life and in my family, I was called the mistake. I was called the child, the unplanned child. Well, let me just go on record and I hope you'll hear my heart and hear it deeply today. God made no mistake when he brought you into this world. He created you with uniqueness. He created you. Knock it off, young people. He created you to give you a knuckle sandwich. No, I'm just kidding. He created you with uniqueness. He created you as special gifts to your caregivers, your parents, perhaps grandparents if you're raised by them, or an aunt or an uncle. But nonetheless, you're a gift of God. So what does the G stand for in the word gift? So the G stands for, and I really hope you'll press in and hear this, God loves you. You didn't hear me. God loves you. You see, I know what it's like as a young person. Please hear me, and I get emotional sometimes when I talk about this. I know what it's like growing up, young people, to wonder if anybody loves you. But I promise you, on the authority of the Bible, God loves you with all of his heart. He brought you into this world for a special time and a special purpose. He made you for him. You were created by God, and you are created for God. You say, well, Pastor Harold, wait a minute, though. We're sometimes taught that we came as a result of evolution. Listen, friend, that is a lie, and that is even a terrible theory, evolution is. It does not stand. It's not scientific. It's not factual. It's a myth. And on the authority of the Word of God, we do believe in what is called intelligent design, meaning that God is the one that gave you life. God is the one that brought you into existence. So the G in gift that you are stands for God loves you. The I in gift stands for this phrase, and I hope you'll say this. It stands for I am special. You are special to God. Do you realize you're the only one like you? My wife says, thank the Lord, in the context of me. Whoo, the world couldn't handle two Tracy Harolds. But no, you're made with uniqueness. Matter of fact, David said in Psalms, the psalmist wrote, he said, and it's a very phenomenal passage there. He says in Psalm 139, and I think around verse 11 and 12 or 12 and 13, he makes this statement. I want you to hear this, young people. If you're listening to pastor, say, I'm listening, preacher. Thank you. So here's a thought. David says, God, I will praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. God made him unique. God made him special. We all have thumbprint, but here's what's so amazing about our thumbprint. You do not have the thumbprint that I have, nor do I have the thumbprint that you have, nor do you have a thumbprint that anybody else has. God made you uniquely special. You know, if you were, and I know perhaps sometimes you don't think of it this way, but if you could for a moment, so every now and then, someone will say something like this, man, you look just like your mom. My goodness, you're a spitting image of your dad. Well, if I can take that and I can expound on that just for a moment, every one of us in this room, and young people, and I pray to God that God will use this, and you'll never forget this, not because the preacher's preaching it, but because it's the Bible, because it's the Word of God, it is absolutely foundational to the understanding of Scripture. Here it is. If you could look close enough, you would see the fingerprints of God all over you. God created you. God formed you. God molded you. When you were in your mother's womb, the Lord Jesus Christ creating you, what a joy, what a blessing to know that I'm special. You're special. And I know if you have older brothers, and for example, maybe you're the baby of the family, your older siblings may not think that you're special, but you are special. How many of you are the baby of the family? Raise your hand. How many of you are the oldest in your family? Raise your hand. Some of you are like, this is so hilarious. Some of you went, I'm not the oldest. Well, don't put your hand up. How many are the like us normal people? How many of you are the middle child? Yeah, represent. The good thing, the bad thing about being the middle child is you get all the hand-me-downs from the older siblings. But the good news is about being the middle child, you get to hand your hand-me-downs to the baby of the family often. It's a blessing to be able to do that. When Cameron got older and he'd have shirts, he'd pass them down to Toby. And everywhere he'd go, he'd have Cameron across his chest. But, when you know, we passed them down. So, God loves me. I pray, I mean this, and I know your youth workers and Awana workers and teen workers, I know they believe this, but I pray for the rest of your life, if you live to be 100 years, I pray that for the rest of your life, and let me speak on that for a minute, I remember when a 20-year-old was old to me. I'm more than two of them, but I remember that. But my point, here's my thought. I pray that you never forget this statement. God loves you. And God's love for you is unconditional. It's unconditional. Sometimes we can grow up and we can think, well, as long as I do good, as long as I be good, as long as I'm not doing anything wrong, then that person will love me, or this person will love me, or this family member will show me love, or this person will show me love. But listen, here's what you got to get a hold of. God loves you unconditionally. He loved you so much, He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for you 2,000 years ago. You see, young people, we cannot get to heaven without Jesus. Moms and dads, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, no one can get to heaven without Jesus Christ. God loves me. I'm special. You come to the F in this gift, the word gift. The F stands for Follow God's plan for your life. You know, not only did God create you, you're created by God and for God, but you're also, God loves you. Not only does he love you, not only did he create you, not only are you special to him, you're made with uniqueness. You're made unlike anybody else. David said of himself, God, I'll praise you. I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. You made me like no one else. God, I'll celebrate my uniqueness in you because of who I know that you made me. But God, I also know the word of God teaches young people that God who made you, you're made by God and for God. But God also has a plan for your life. You say, preacher, I don't want to be a preacher. Do you think I did when I was your age? Right? No. No way. But God has a plan for your life. Paul said in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And then he goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed is like the word metamorphosis. It's a big word, but let me explain what it means. It's like you take that little cocoon, and then before it's over with, a butterfly comes out of that. The transformation that occurs, it occurs from the inside and it comes out. God tells us, be not conformed to the world. That word conform means do not allow the world and press in. Listen, young people, if you're listening, say, I'm listening, preacher. All right, now when the Bible says be not conformed to this world, what it's saying is do not let the world mold you, and don't let it put you into its mold. You're created by God. You're created for God. You're created for a purpose. You're created to give God glory with your life. God has a plan for your life. You can rest in that. You say, preacher, yeah, but I don't know what God's plan is. How can I find God's plan for my life? Well, it brings us to the next letter. The letter T in gift. The letter T stands for trust his word. In Psalm 119, a tremendous passage of the Bible, let me read a few verses to you. The psalmist writes and he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a question, and he answers the question. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. He's talking about the word of God. And then listen to this, young people. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. He's talking about God. He's talking about, this is so powerful. He's talking about, the psalmist is, about going after God with his whole heart. How many of you love to play sports? Let's narrow it down. How many of you love to play baseball? Raise your hand. There's a few of you. How many of you love to play volleyball? Raise your hand. How many of you love to play basketball? Oh, yeah, basketball. Right? We love to play sports. Now, here's another question. How many of you, if you're going to play a sport, you're not going to play it, and I hope you understand what I mean by this. If not, I'll develop it a minute. How many of you, when you play sports, you want somebody on your team that is only going to play at half speed? They're only going to give half effort. How many of you want somebody like that on your team? If you're going to win a championship, you're going for a championship, how many of you want somebody that's going to say, yeah, I'm going to play on your team, but guess what? I'm going to take all the shots. I'm not going to let anybody else in. No, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to give half an effort. How many of you would want somebody like that on your team? There isn't one hand in the building except a mentally challenged sound man in the back. Nobody would want that, right? Nobody would want that. So the psalmist, listen to this verse. This is awesome. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. The psalmist says, God, when it comes to your word, Lord, I want to hide it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The psalmist answers the question by taking heed thereto according to thy word, the Bible, the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. A standalone word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. What is it? Bible. The Bible. You say, I'll preach your Bibles just for preachers. No. The Bible's for young people. The Bible's for middle-aged people. The Bible's for older people. The Bible should be for everybody. Why? Because the God who created you is the God who authored and wrote this book. So if the God who created you, you say, preacher, how do you know that God created me? I'm glad you asked that question. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis that he did. Preacher, how do you know that God has a plan for my life? Because the God who created you and formed you for his purpose and for his plan is the God that tells us in his word that he has a plan for your life. So, but pastor, I'm a nobody. Listen, friend, don't ever let anybody tell you that. But let me say it like this. If anybody ever does say that to you, do not believe it. Don't believe that. Don't ever believe anybody that tells you that you're nothing special because they're not telling you the truth. You're very special. You're special in God's eyes. And I'll say this as the pastor of this church. You're special to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. We love you. We deeply care about you. We want you to follow God with your whole heart. If you're playing a sport, you don't play it with a half-hearted attitude. You'll be sitting on the bench, right? You guys that play basketball. If the coach sees you playing with a half-hearted effort, you think you're going to be playing long? No, you're going to be sitting on the bench. If you play with a half-hearted attitude, you better get used to this. Want a water bottle? Want a water bottle? Because you're going to be the water boy if you don't play with all of your heart. You got to go after it. You got to pursue it. You got to do it to the best of your ability. You say, why? Well, we use that same analogy. That's what the psalmist says about God. He said, God, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander, he says, from thy commandments. The commandments, he's talking about the word of God. Then listen to this. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let me ask you a personal question. And you can raise your hand. How many of you truly believe that God created you? Raise your hand. Just be honest. All right? Put your hands down. How many of you believe God has a plan for your life? Raise your hand. Be honest. I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm. Put your hands down. So if we believe God created us, we believe God has a plan for us, here's my third question. How many of you, don't raise your hand quick on this. How many of you want to sin against God? We don't want to sin against God, do we? We don't want to do that. So the psalmist speaks into that. So how do we avoid sinning against God? Listen to verse 11 of Psalm 119. The psalmist says, thy word, the Bible, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We make a big deal around here, parents, of the Bible. Unapologetically, we make a big deal about that. We teach the kids, we teach your children the Bible. They memorize scripture. They sing it in songs. They put it to memory. I'll be honest, when I was young, just hear me for a minute. When I was young, and if I was in an Awana program, they didn't have Awana back when Fred Flintstone was like when I was. They didn't have Awana back in the old days when I was a kid. But if they did have Awana and I was in an Awana program, you know what class I'd have been in? The firecracker class. Yeah, man. Yes, sir. I'd have been in the firecracker class. Very rambunctious. I used to get notes. At school, I was a decent student. But I'd get notes. They'd send it home, my progress reports. And there'd be good grades, pretty much. But on the bottom, they always had something like this. Trace is a good kid. Trace is a good student. But he talks way too much. I was what they call today the distracted child. So Toby gets it honestly. distract us. You say, preacher, what's your point? Here's what I love about our church. Parents, here's what I love about our workers. We do not try to take your child and just teach them anyway. I'm grateful to God, Miss Rhonda, that our workers see the uniqueness in your child. They passionately seek to teach your children the Word of God. You know, I'm 43 years young, almost 44. And you know, some of the honest truth, that song I sang for you, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's a book for me. I learned that as a little kid in Vacation Bible School. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was a verse I memorized when I was a little kid. He said, preacher, what's your point? Why do we passionately try to get the Word of God into your child's life? And not just your child's life. Our passion and goal is to not just get the Bible into your children's life. Our passion and our goal is to get the Bible into your life. And our passion and our goal is to get the Bible into your family. So I never really realized that. No, that's our heart. You say, preacher, why do you want that? Because we want you to know that just as your child is special before God, you're special to God. You say, oh, preacher, no, you don't understand, preacher. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. Well, fall in line. We all have. Well, I don't know about everybody else, but I can tell you I have. Made some mistakes. But I'm grateful we have a forgiving God. He'll forgive you of anything you've ever done. He'll change your life. Gift. But if we were to put an S, you know, like Christmas time, it's nice to get a gift. But it's a lot nicer to get gifts, right? Plural. If we were to put an S on this, on the word gift, we would use it to illustrate the great Bible teaching and the Bible, the essence of the whole Bible. And it stands for Savior. Jesus Christ, he's more than a story. He's more than a story. He's Savior, ladies and gentlemen. And he desires to be your Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted him as your Savior, both young and old, I encourage you to do so. Micah, you do not have to come. We're all right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me talk to you just for a minute. Nobody looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you, and I promise you I will. I want to give you an opportunity to trust Christ. Every week, every single Wednesday night, through the Awana program and team program, every single Wednesday night, we gave your child an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. Many of them have done that, and we rejoice that they, what that means is they've repented of being a sinner, and they believe the gospel to the saving of their soul, which is the gospel message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. They ask God to forgive them, and they call upon God to be their Savior. He's their only hope, and sweet friend, he is your only hope. How many tonight, by show of hands, would say, preacher, I know this church does. They indeed try to get the Bible into our home. They try to get the Bible into our lives as adults, not just our children, but as adults and our families. But to be honest, Pastor, if the truth be known, no one looking around, just I'm looking and just between you and God, how many would say, Brother Tracy, I do not know, Pastor. I do not know Christ is my Savior. Will you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you. Anybody else that would just raise your hand and say, I do not know Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Nobody look around. Let's be respectful, right? Thank you. Now, for those that raised your hand, I encourage you right now, where you're at, to talk to God. You You say, how do I talk to God? You talk to God like I'm talking to you. You say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know it was my sins that put Christ on the cross. And I know, God, that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again. And God, I ask you to save me. Change my life. Come into my life. God, if there ever was a time I need you, God, I need you. As the teenagers sing. How many are here tonight, though many have raised their hand saying, acknowledging that they don't know Christ as Savior, and we pray that in a moment as I pray that they'll, if they haven't already, that they will settle that issue. But real quick, how many of you tonight would say, Brother Tracy, I know Christ as my Savior, but to be quite honest, I've drifted away from His Word. You said earlier in the verse that you quoted that I might not sin against God. The psalmist said he was hiding God's Word in his heart, the Bible in his heart, no doubt memorizing the Word of God and making it a part of his daily life so he wouldn't sin against God. But maybe you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I've really drifted far away from the Lord. But I want tonight to be a fresh start. I want to rededicate my life back to God. Anybody like that? Raise your hand if that's your desire. Hands everywhere. Hands all over this room. You can put your hands down. Sweet friend, let me encourage you. I said earlier that one thing I love about my God is His love for me is not based on my performance. He loves me when I fail. He loves me when I serve Him. He loves me unconditionally. So for those that raise their hand acknowledging that they want tonight to be the first step of their walk with God again. Not for salvation. That when you trusted Christ years ago, God saved you, He forgave you of all your sins. But in your service, tonight could be a fresh start. And as pastor, I promise you, for those that raised your hand in that regard, I rejoice with you that you've made that step to rededicate your life to Jesus. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we love you.